Good morning, and love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate that. You know, I had the best seat in the house during worship up here because I can watch all you worship. We look out, and it was really neat to see so many people really engaged in worship this morning. That's awesome. I've been to some churches, right, and I'm sure you have too. Not here, though. Thank God, not here. Really engaged. Because when we have worship, what are we doing? Are we just singing? Are we just singing words on a PowerPoint, trying to get the note right, get the word right? We don't care about that, right? It's the heart and our spirit, actually, connecting with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, and in our mind's eye, focusing on God, right? That's, you decided, Veronica, oh, I like that song, but no, I don't like that song. That's a little too countrified for me, and that's a little too rock for me, and that's too old, that's too young, that's too this, too that. It's not why we're here. Which I really appreciate about our family of believers here, this church family, is that we're here for one reason, about praise Jesus, you know, and focus on Him, no matter what we're going through. No matter what we're going through, and I didn't pick the song today, but they have a general theme. Did you catch that about the storm? I'll praise you in the storm. My hope is still in you no matter what. And how did they know that? How did they know that? I was going to talk about that, because last week, and I've been thinking about that, Robert, you asked me why was that particular story in the Bible written where it was. I don't know. I really don't. I can't help you on that. I tried to figure that out and look up, because some gospels, it's real, you can see the reasoning for the different miracles and why they're written. But one thing I do know, preaching on today, I know why it's there. Because what had happened here is that it was probably the second most stressful day in Jesus' life. Obviously, the most stressful would be Good Friday. But imagine this. Jesus is just starting His ministry. And who went before Him? Yes, His cousin John the Baptist. Right. Went before Him, prepared the way. And Jesus said there was no human being, you know, like John the Baptist. Now, he wasn't a Baptist denomination. Some call him John the Baptizer, but, you know, get the point, right? And he led the way to prepare, actually prepared the way for Jesus. And Jesus was baptized. What did John say? He must increase, I must decrease. That's not a real popular idea nowadays, right? We'll lift you up, but I want to be back here. I don't want to be part of it. I want you to get the glory and the honor and the praise. So, anyway, so all that was going fine. And sometimes we forget that Jesus is human as well as God. But He felt everything we feel, and including in this situation, because what happened last week with Robert's excellent message on a very difficult subject, what happened to John the Baptist? He was beheaded. A crazy party went wild with promises made that were regretted, and just bad, talk about bad decisions, oh my goodness sake. And Jesus hears about this. Now, He knows everything, He is God, but He didn't use all His divine attributes and characteristics while here on earth. He relied on the Holy Spirit, He relied on His Father, and so He hears this word about His cousin, not just His relative, but the one who is preparing the ministry for Him, not only is dead, but it was beheaded on top of it. Now, how do you think that impacted Jesus as a human being? How does it impact us, the grief? And Shannon and I, we've talked a lot about that. And we've talked a lot about that in the last 2 years, right? Oh, my goodness, Donna. It's just like, don't ask what else can go wrong, right? Don't do that, right? So the stress was Jesus was dealing with His own emotions. He just found out His cousin had died in a terrible way, and being human, He grieved, and He needed time to grieve, right? And sometimes we need time to grieve or to do other things, and other people come to us asking things and needing things, and sometimes it's overwhelming. Have you ever had that, the phone call? You get the phone call. You have one thing going on with maybe one of your kids, and then you got another thing going on with your other kid, and then you got something going on at work. Then you get bad news from the doctor, and you think, what else can go wrong, right? And don't ask that, right? Yeah, right. And Jesus, that's what happened to Jesus here. He hears about his cousin, And he needed to get away. He says, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place. That sounds good. Take a boat trip, get on the boat. There's something about getting on the water, right? Getting away from it on the water is so relaxing. Sometimes I'll just look at pictures of water. Oh, I remember going there to Del Mar. Oh, I wish I could be there instead of here in Phoenix. Because Pastor Rick and Robin are gone, and my son and daughter-in-law, they're gone. And so I told my son and daughter-in-law, I said, well, have a good trip. And they said, you too. I mean, sorry, I'm not going anywhere. Everybody else is. Here it's 107 degrees still. And it is it fall? Is it fall yet? No, well, I sure don't feel like. So once it's official, it'll get better, the weather, right? Officially fall, and it'll feel like fall. Yeah, right. Anyway, so Jesus had to get away. You see that commercial, got to get away? Jesus had to get away. He's human. He needed to take care of his grief. And sometimes we need to take care of our grief, but life kind of has a way of going, well, you needed this, you needed that. And we put that on hold, right, that grief. And something just happened this past week. My parents' house just finally went through escrow, dealing with all that, closing. And all the documents, oh my goodness sake, unbelievable. And then I had to go through some things to find some documents I needed to look for. And as I went there, I saw my natural mom and my dad's marriage license. Oh man, it hit me. And then I saw the record of who attended my mom's funeral when I was 8 years old. And she was 38 years old when she died. And there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of names listed. And I just was overwhelmed when I saw all these people that attended my mom's funeral. I can barely remember it. So all these things were happening yesterday when I was just planning on doing some record keeping, financial documents, and cleaning up my apartment and sorting documents. Little did I know all that would hit me. Like, whoa. So you never know how grief is going to hit us, but we need to take care of it. And we all grieve differently. But it's Christian. It's okay to grieve. It's just that we don't, like those that have no hope, the Bible says. We have hope. We will see our loved ones again if they know Jesus, which gives us great hope and great assurance, blessed assurance, right? Whew! It's so awesome. But we're human. And Shannon reminded me, it's okay, Pastor. You've got to feel this. You've got to go through it, and you'll be doing fine, and then all of a sudden, whoop, and then deal with that, and then move forward, and then whoop. So anyway, it is a good grief that we have as believers. It really is. So Jesus had that. And he needed to deal with it. But sometimes, it's almost like Jesus might have needed to have a little note put on the PowerPoint that says, please don't disturb Jesus right now. He needs to take care of some things right now, right? But nobody thinks about Jesus, right? I need this. I need the healing. I need. You don't see too much. What do you need, Lord? How can we serve you? And that's what we're called to do. So Jesus withdrew there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But guess what? When the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. Not just one town. We've got people from many towns flocking to hear and to see Jesus and receive something. Everybody needs something. Everybody wants something. Sometimes we as parents, isn't it nice just to hear something from our kids besides a request? Isn't it nice? Just like, oh, I love you. What do you want? Nothing. You sure? Yes. And if it is sincere from the heart, it is wonderful just to get that assurance and that love and that affirmation. I just love you, not what you can do for me. And I'm sure God must think of his kids like, it's always something. But when we worship, we take our focus off ourselves and on him, right? And we give him honor, praise, and glory. And then what happens to our storms? What happens to our own situation and our attitude? As we take a focus off ourselves and on him, we feel better. You know, it's like a boomerang effect. That the more we focus on him, the better we feel about ourselves. The more we focus on ourselves and less on him, the less we feel good inside, right? Because this world is so, it's just like, it's sucking down the drain of sewer of selfishness in our world today. So we have to rise above that and praise him in the storm and trust him. So Jesus tried to get away. Here come the crowds from many towns. Oh boy, here they come. But notice Jesus' reaction. And he had compassion on them. So he saw these people. He could have said, you know what? That's it. No, I'm not serving you today. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. He didn't do that. He had compassion as he saw all these people coming toward him, all the needs. And notice that Jesus knows everything, right? He knows not just the physical need, but the spiritual needs of all these people, people harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, the Bible says, without a leader, without a real religious leader to help them. John the Baptist is dead, and they're all coming to Jesus from every which way, from every town. He has compassion. And sometimes we have what's called compassion fatigue. As social workers and as ministers sometimes, we can be caring and caring and doing and doing and doing and doing and not filling up our own well, and we have come to the point where we have nothing to give to anybody else. Or maybe we weren't taking care of family members and all kinds of family members and this and that and this and that. Eventually, we're going to get sick or something's going to happen because we have to take care of ourselves. We only have so much energy, right? So we have to get away. And Jesus got away many times, went up to the mountainside to be with his Father alone and pray, and there'd be crowds down the valley, and Jesus would stay away. Here he doesn't. Other times he would stay away because he knew the priority was to be with his Father, and then he could go from there, right? Then he could go from, you know, being with his Father and having something to offer. And if we get all empty on the inside, there's nothing to give. Now, the question I have is, how do you fill your tank, your spiritual tank? What are ways that you get re-energized and worship, right? Why worship? What happens in worship that energizes you? Absolutely. There's something about worship. Music. What did you say, prayer? Who's used to prayer? Prayer. What happens to you when you're praying? It's a connection with God and you, right? Whether there's anybody in this room or not, and it's good to have a fellowship with one another. We're not alone, but when there's that connection, nobody can describe that. And it's hard. Like with my kids, now they got it. They go to church first before they go to out of town. They do, that's their priority, and they're hungry for my daily bread. They go, Dad, you forgot to bring daily bread for me. Oh, sorry. And you can't say, no, you need to have hunger for God's word, and you need to be in devotions. How do you think that worked for years? That didn't work, right? But when we have that hunger for the bread of life for Jesus and in prayer, so we get strength through worship, through prayer, anything else? The Bible. As we are feeding on the Word of God, we can feel stronger, right, as we're reading that. And we need to do that every day, right? We need to do it. Yes? But passing on the Word. When we share with other people, it comes back to us again, doesn't it? It's awesome how that works. The more we share, the more it comes back. And also we pray for healing. Sometimes we get healed. Sometimes we get strengthened as we focus on other people. And it's amazing how all that works. So Jesus needed to get away. We need to get away because sometimes we lose our compassion. We get so tired of helping everybody else. They said, just take a number, okay? I'll get back to like the deli and fries, right? So now serving 58 or the motor vehicle division. Oh man, they're only at number 2 and I'm number 59. When am I ever going to get help, you know? But and then they get to someone, may I help you? Or like, you really want to help me, right? I don't think you're really into that. And why do so many people that are in customer service aren't good with customer service? Just go in a little cubby and work on numbers and figures, you know? Don't work with people because you're not good at that, you know? But anyway, so we can have compassion fatigue. Jesus didn't have compassion fatigue. He had compassion on those. And what did he do about the situation of all these people? What does it say he did? He healed them. We have healing services. They last maybe an hour, hour and a half. This lasted all day. And some churches, bigger churches, they'll have a healing service. I've been doing it, went on and on and on. And there'd be long lines of people needing a prayer and healing, right? But it was amazing because everybody got energized, and those that already had healing were praising God and sharing the good news, and others were waiting for prayer, waiting for healing, and there was a sense of excitement and anticipation, not like, when is this going to get over? I got a roast in the oven at home. You know, everybody was there for one purpose, like the book of Acts talks about, and they were praying, and they were believing, and they were feeling and experiencing the power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus. Jesus said it would be to our benefit that he went away. And why is that? Because when he went away, then he could send the Holy Spirit. He could be everywhere at the same time. He could be at this church, with that person, with that pastor, with this missionary, all over the place, all over the world. Because he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. So no matter what we go through in our storms of life, Who's with us? And who's with our family members and our friends? We want to try to help them, but they won't receive help. He's still with them, right? And we have to surrender them to the Lord. All, and it's so easy to do, sometimes hard, it's easy to say, sometimes hard to do, right? So Jesus has compassion. He's healing all these people. And he's touching them. And he's taking time for them. One after the other, after the other, after the other, after another person, another person. Here comes some more people from another town that heard about Jesus. One and the other. And Jesus loves the individual, not just the group. Have you ever felt lost in a crowd? Like, they don't even notice me at this place, at this church. Like, I could be gone for 2 months and nobody'd miss me. Well, you're missed here, I tell you that. In places, it's like just a number in a group. But Jesus knows our individual needs. And he's not only a Savior for our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones, he's our personal Savior. And there's that intimacy that he says, I stand the door and knock. If anyone will have me come in, I will come into them and eat with them and fellowship with them. There's that personal fellowship with Jesus as well as with one another. And we share that with each other, right? And we share, what is God saying to me? What he says to Robert may be different than what he says to me. And we come together in Bible class like we do sometimes, and sometimes we'll do maybe 2 or 3 or 4 verses, right? Because we're talking about so much what God's doing, and it's just so much to share. And isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? It really is. Thanks to God. So Jesus kept healing and healing and healing. Did he run out of power? Say, oh no, so that's it, no more power. No. He's God. And as long as Jesus relied on his Father for the strength and the vision and the ministry, he kept going. But when he saw the Father stop working, he stopped working. But then when he would kick back in with the Father and the Holy Spirit, remember one of the first things Jesus did in the start of his ministry was go into the desert and be tempted 40 days, right, and 40 nights. Imagine that. Talk about having an appetite and him being hungry after 40 days. But he went in the power of the Spirit, and he came out of the desert in the power of the Holy Spirit to start his ministry in the Holy Spirit. And we see it here. There's nothing like a healing service when the Holy Spirit is active, you feel him, right? Right, Alex? We know. It is, yes. Oh, yeah. Besides? Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Over. Oh, yeah, very strongly. Well, if you're really the Son of God, do this or that and prove yourself. Definitely, yes. It was very intense. Very intense. And sometimes our temptations are very intense, so we rely on Jesus, who relied on the Word of God, and he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. He knew the Word and knew how to use it. So we need to know how to use God's Word. So Jesus is healing. But guess what? The day is almost over. And what did the disciples say? Now when it's evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. So Jesus, it's time to punch out here. It's 5:00. Let's go. Church is over. Close the doors, lock the doors, let's go. Send them away, because there's no McDonald's down the street. There's no ranch market. So you better just send, like you're telling Jesus what to do. Isn't that kind of weird? He's healing people. He's doing some supernatural stuff. But in this area of life, oh, he can't handle it. Jesus can't take care of their physical hunger. That's what they were thinking. And sometimes we do that too. We think, well, Jesus can do this in my life, but he can't do that. And he can do it for you, but I don't know about for me. That's what Jesus is, the great I am, right? And he can do everything. But the disciples said, send them away. We're tired now. Let's go. Get them out. Close shop. Because there were 5,000 men plus women and kids. That's a lot of people, right? It's like the arena downtown being filled and saying, okay, people, show's over. We're turning out the lights. Go out and get something to eat and have a good night. Goodbye. Have a night. Be safe out there driving. In a chariot, right? But Jesus has a different idea, right? Had a better idea. They said, the disciples said, yeah, send them away. But Jesus said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Have you ever been around people, they go, oh, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? Can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? Like, what are you doing? You're delegating everything to somebody else? Wait a minute here. You know? Oh, I'm busy. With what? With what are you doing? So Jesus, you take care of it. And sometimes Jesus does that with us, right? He says, I give you the strength, I give you the faith. Now you exercise your faith. And when we'll talk about the storms of life later, when Jesus walked on the water, one time Jesus was asleep on the boat, and he got ticked off the disciples because they didn't exercise their faith in the storm. They were like, Jesus, wake up, you got to do something. And he upbraided them, it says, and rebuked them for the lack of faith. Like, you could have taken care of that storm. Like, wow. So they had the faith, they didn't use it. So Jesus says, I love that. You do something. You give them something to eat. They said to him, we only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. We only have. What were they doing? Looking at their limitations. I can only do this. It's only me. I can't do anything. I'm just a weak little person. I mean, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. I don't have a lot of faith. Well, how much faith do you need? Mustard seed, right? It's not about us. It's about him, right? And once we get that, we can focus on him because he can do everything. I can't do anything, right? But they didn't. And you think about self-recovery. What's the whole point? Is realizing my life has become totally unmanageable. Yes. And that I cannot do this on my own. And realizing I have to turn it over. What do you need to turn over right now? You can't wait one more minute. Whatever we need to do, we need to keep turning it over to the Lord. Say, Lord, it's all yours. But then he'll say, yeah, but you got to do this. And that's true. But we do turn it over to the Lord. So he said, we only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Whatever we have, if we give it to the Lord and we surrender to God, what does he do with what little we have? He multiplies it. He makes it greater. He says, okay, I'll take what you have. And then I'm just going to add the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Lord with you. And in whatever words, have you ever said words? You go, I didn't say that. Where did that come from? It came out of my voice, but it wasn't me, right? Or you think about someone at the right time. You pray for them. You talk to them. You go share God's love with them at the right moment. And who's engineering all that?
Right.
The Lord's engineering all that. And he wants all of us to be available. So he says, hey, you go. You take your little 2 loaves and fish, whatever, and you go over there. You talk to that person. You feed that hungry person. You take care of that person. Show them God's love. And don't just say, well, God bless them. You go and bless them while asking me to bless them as well, right? So we work with the Lord, and that's awesome when that happens. So he says, bring them here to me. So they bring what little they have. And what does he do? He says, he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. So isn't that neat that Jesus would do the same thing we're called to do? He took what he had. He looked up to heaven, not to the circumstances of, oh my goodness, there are 5,000 people. Where are the ushers? How'd you let in so many people here? What's going on? This is the den where the women, there's all these kids. Where's our child care ministry? Where's our youth group leader? What do we do? It was a focus on the Lord, right? Give it to the Lord, and he'll take care of it. The disciples could have gone, well, now I get the calculators. Like, okay, 5,000 men, and then you got kids. How many kids have you had? Wives. Times. Let's see. If they just had, everybody had 2 fish and just 1 loaf of bread. We need to call Dorothy to help us out cooking here. This is too much. We can't do this. I can only cook for a few people. This is way above what I can do. If we use calculators and human mindset, humanism, to limit what God can do, right? And boy, the disciples learned the story, because this story is one of the few, besides the death and resurrection, Jesus, that are in all the Gospels. Every single Gospel has a story in it for a reason, right? They learned a lot from this. So, when Jesus says a blessing over us, things happen. Or when people bless us in the name of the Lord, and somebody lays hands on us, ooh, look out, right? So he said, okay, he ordered the crowd, takes the loaves and the fish, looks up to heaven, says a blessing, and he starts breaking the loaves. So he's up here, and he's breaking the loaves like we do for communion, right? And that's always scary, by the way, when we run out of bread up here. We try to get somebody to back like Cindy, or Rob and say, oh, Perry, go get some more bread. We're out of bread here. But Jesus starts breaking the bread and giving and distributing, breaking and breaking and distributing. And he keeps doing that with the bread, and it's still more bread. Oh my goodness, what's going on here? And people, imagine that. You got 5,000 men plus kids and women. And they saw what they started with, and now they see what's going on, and they're going, what is going on here, right? There's a true story. We had a Crucial communion service, and they ran out of communion wafers, and they still had some people. And one of my friends said they were praying about it, and they couldn't go in the back. It was at college, and there was no bread in the back. It wasn't like a church sacristy where you have Cindy replenishing back here. So there they were, and they prayed. And they said, somehow or other, we had plenty of wafers for everybody. We had just had enough. And there wasn't enough there first. And that was pretty cool. I'll never forget that. So when God is in the picture, look out. And it says this, and they all ate, and not just ate a little bit, were satisfied. It's like, ah, oh, yes. Their tummies were full. They were happy. But more than just their tummies being full, hopefully their souls were filled with the bread of life. And what happens when we feed on Jesus, on His Word? That devotion is called our daily bread. It's because there's a food, a spiritual food we all need. And it's so neat when you see young Christians so hungry for God, or like Bruce, where he wants more of Jesus, whereas before, I'll just stay out here, thank you very much, and you guys go into church, and not anymore. He's hungry for God. We're hungry for God. And we watch other people hungry like Alex for God, and they're feeding, they want more, and they want more, and they're being satisfied. There's nothing like that spiritual hunger that we have, that emptiness that Jesus fills it. When He fills that, it just feels great, right? Doesn't it? Like, oh, now I'm being fed. And hopefully you're being fed at the church, no matter who's preaching here. It doesn't matter who's up here. It matters who's here, namely the presence of God, right? Blessing what human, weak words we have, that He will use that. And Donna, we talked about one point about a message that you heard, or that Paula heard something different than what was even said, because God was there blessing those human words with supernatural words and messages from God Himself, right? So they all ate, they were satisfied, and they took up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces left over. So they didn't let things go to waste. They gathered it all. And how many were left over? 12 basketfuls. The other story of the feeding of the 4,000 says there were 7 baskets. And my grandma, years and years ago, told me that. She says, Perry, look at that, those two stories. If you feed on the bread of life, you have enough for 12 months of the year, 7 days a week. There's always enough Jesus for every day, for every month, for the whole year, for your whole life. She said, don't lose your hunger for God. And we talk about a couple songs, stir up a hunger, Lord. You know, don't let the fire go out. Stir up that hunger. We want to keep that hunger. When we lose that hunger for God, that's not a good thing. We start feeding on the world again, try to find our joy and our fulfillment. It ain't work. Now, does religion work? We're not talking about religion, are we? It's a relationship with Jesus who feeds our soul. So hopefully you're getting fed. And this week, you'll keep being fed by God. And it says, those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And the bread of life shows up. And again, remember how the day started? He heard about the death of his cousin. And in the middle of his grief, he served. And he served. And he served all day and night. And thanks be to God for what a Savior we have, right? And who gave up His very life that in communion we would have feed on Him even today. He is the bread of life. Jesus says, He that comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst again. Well, we just thank God that we have a Lord. Yes, we have a great God. So may the bread of life feed our souls and fill us to overflowing so we can pass that on to somebody else. I had a friend who went to seminary after he was a mechanic for 30 years. And he said, you know what? I'm not real intelligent. And he said, take Greek. From New Testament Greek, and he barely passed. He says, I'm just this dumb mechanic. And he says, but all I know is I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where I found a piece of bread that fed my soul. And that's what we're called to do too. And we pray that happens. In Jesus' name, amen. And we pray, Lord, You are the bread of life. when we are empty, when we are so hungry for something that will satisfy, to give meaning and purpose and a destiny in our life and hope for our lives, we know you are the only one that you give up your very life to die for us that we might have eternal life. And you say that if we hunger and we come to you, we'll never go away hungry. You will always satisfy us. Fill our souls and our spirits with your word, Lord, with your words, with your presence. We thank you, Lord, that we can come here and get fed. But Lord, not just to get fed, but may we have that same compassion you had and serve others once we're fed and not just sit back and take a nap the rest of our lives. Help us to go out and serve. Help us to go out and live for you. Help us to go out and love others and share that bread of life with other people. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you bless these meager words, that you multiply them. And Lord, we all know that we have situations in our lives where we go, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it financially. I don't know how I'm going to make it emotionally, but this is what I have. And then we watch you multiply, whether it be the finances or other things, and we go, thanks be to God. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the great provider, that you provide for us in amazing ways. And as we look back, we can see you stepping in one time after the other, bringing this person into my life, bringing that situation into my life, bringing that check that came just the right time into my life, that you take care of us. And you say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added and unto you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your promises. Help us not lose faith, Lord. When we are tested and you don't come through immediately, may we not lose faith, but continue to look up to you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.